You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Welcome to my gathering, my gala event, all my favorite pieces of modern art. Hello, welcome. I am Mindy. Thank you all for coming. If you'd like to come this way, I'll show you my first piece. Right here, we have Jordan with the pearl earring. Notice that she is not, in fact, wearing an earring to subvert expectations of society.
It's beautiful. It's a masterpiece.
Yes, and I totally don't have a bag of Skittles I'm going to awkwardly drop in the middle of an art exhibition.
I would hope not. And over here, we have Bradley descending a staircase. You'll know that it is a Picasso because the face is weird.
Yes, indeed.
All right, everyone, but I know the main event, what you're all waiting for, our Screener Squad review of The Artist Wife, latest drama directed by Tom Dolby. Now, if any of you would like to read the inscription and give us a synopsis of this modern piece.
Why, yes. This lovely piece of art here follows Richard, a renowned artist of immense joy and accomplished, played by Bruce Dern, who has always been supported by his wife, Claire, played by Lena Olin, artist of herself, who has taken a backseat to help her husband's career. But sadly, her husband doesn't seem quite there, as he is starting to show signs of developing dementia, which causes Claire to question if she should take up her own career again, or support her husband in this difficult time, while also dealing with a troubling past relationship.
Right, bravo, bravo! You read that very beautifully. Now, what does everybody think about this film?
Okay, considering I've somehow stumbled upon just choosing movies to review that involve sad white people dealing with illness or fucking death, I've noticed a pattern in what I'm choosing. I honestly really enjoyed this movie. This was a fantastic drama, and it just really shows again how great of actors Lena Olin and Bruce Dern are.
I thought it was okay. The thing that bugged me, I mean, I thought you were absolutely right. The acting between Bruce Dern and Lena Olin was great as Richard and Claire. But the problem is, the title of this piece is The Artist's Wife, and it didn't feel like it really focused on her as much as that title would suggest. And it feels like that there are a lot of threads that don't tend to get tied up. Like the whole thing with the daughter and her son. It's like, apparently there's a bad relationship with them and Richard, but it really doesn't go into an explanation of that. And then it just kind of ends. And then you have the thing with the babysitter.
Danny the Manny.
Yeah, and then
that's honestly how he's listed on the fucking, right there.
Danny the Manny?
Yeah.
Avon Jogia. I'm not sure how to say that name, but he was great. Very charming.
And he was a great actor, but they didn't really give him a lot to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, he's there and he's being charismatic, and then poof, he's gone. And apparently he has made a big impression, but we don't exactly know what that is because they don't really explain the relationships between him and the kid and the daughter. And then
I'd want to say the impression he made, but that'd actually be a spoiler.
Oh, I mean, he did make that kind of impression. Anyway, and then on top of that, the big thing, I mean, even in the tagline, it says, Claire, who has taken up painting once again, must decide whether to stand with her husband in the shadow. It really doesn't focus on the reason that she's taking up painting again. And I'm like, that's a part of it, but it doesn't really go through her emotional processes beyond painting a picture here and there. And it's just like, I wanted more of her and more of how she's reacting to the world instead of these little ends that don't tend to go together.
Yeah, I kind of understand what you're meaning. Her whole story arc is making sure everyone else has a story arc.
Right.
But what's hers? I used to paint. Maybe I should paint again. Okay.
Maybe I should butt my fucking nose into my husband's relationship with his estranged daughter.
Yeah.
And I get why she would want to do that, because, like, hey, look, he's barely going to remember a goddamn thing. I thought, maybe? But that is a bit of a chaotic sort of thing. And yes, the title is a bit misleading, because while it does focus on her being the wife of the artist, it's a bit minuscule in that way of how it teaches. It's really more about her reaction to this all and really her downward spiral, as it were. But it's a well-acted downward spiral. I will say, I thought they did at least a good job of setting up the sort of art world this movie takes place in.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, you do sort of get the minimalist, weird-looking things like, ooh, what does this mean? And then you get the weirdest shit, what the fuck is even this, performance art.
I loved that.
Yeah, with a very strange and brief Stephanie Powers cameo.
Yeah, I would have loved more of her. I would have loved to know that relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to know if this was like an undercover mission of episode of Heart to Heart. Hey, there you go, TV Land. For a while, it kind of just goes all over the place, but it honestly does still have a set story arc that it has, but it doesn't quite explore why she would want to go back into painting. They do a good job of setting up. Yes, kind of did put her own career on hold to support her husband. There is a very true, admirable love between each other. Again, that's...
Do we even find what kind of career she puts on hold, or did she just also used to paint?
Just art. That's it. Just art.
She was a painter as well.
Yeah. A good one? Like, we don't get any of that.
Apparently.
Apparently.
There are a couple people that say it's good.
Look, for the sake of the movie, we gotta say yes. Because why else would this artist marry that artist if there wasn't something visceral?
Oh, yeah.
There. I don't know what I'm doing. I just tapped into my inner Vince McMahon for a moment.
Seriously, though, the both of you. Do artists actually talk like this? Like, I don't hold the brush. My life experience holds the brush, and then it tells me the story. Like, really, do artists talk like that?
I mean, I've taken art classes, and I've never...
I will say, and granted, my art is performance, but I have gotten the direction of your energy comes through your pussy. I have gotten that direction from a director before.
Great. Okay. Question answered. Nitpick withdrawn.
Okay, look. On the several projects I myself have directed, I haven't had to give that note yet. I'd like to still think I got some projects I'd like to do in the future. My directing days aren't behind me. But, again, I've done art myself, painting and such. I've never really quite met any of those sort of people yet. I mean, I don't know. I could run into one tomorrow. 2020's been that weird a goddamn year, so who the hell knows? I will say, Avon Gogia, who plays Danny the Manny, he is fine, but he's just there.
Yeah.
He's just there as this sort of viewpoint character. Like, we're just being brought into this shit.
That's the thing. It's like, it's one of the setups that doesn't follow through. Like, it sets up him as this budding musician.
Yeah.
But you don't hear any of his music. You barely know who he is.
Oh, we do hear it.
I mean, a teeny itty bitty little snippet in the background.
Okay, not even towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very near the end too. And it's just kind of like the setup with the daughter. There's like this big old thing between her and her parents that it's just like, well, what is it? Why is this?
Yeah, that was the thing I disliked the most about this movie. Not the daughter herself, Juliet Rylance. Juliet Rylance plays Angela, the very estranged daughter of Bruce Dern's Richard. And it's like, the best I got was neglectful asshole Disney dad, maybe?
Yeah, there's no implication that he's an evil guy, that they should be divided, and then why she would come back.
Let's say, okay, maybe he cared more about his art than her. Okay, but maybe define that. Maybe, okay, he pissed away all my college money on buying this fucking Picasso or Rembrandt painting. I would understand that. That's fine. We don't get a clear answer except for, yeah, possible asshole Disney dad, busy all the time, worried more about his brushes than his daughter. But there's really nothing. And I like Juliet Rylance, but she's kind of the weakest thing in this movie.
And then on top of that, the connection between Richard and his grandson. It's like, it's there for a second, and then disappears completely.
Yeah, it's the most fun, jovial, pissing in the snow scene you could maybe get out of something like that. But I want to focus on the said artist in the title, Bruce Dern. Incredible. I mean, he is just a phenomenal actor. This is probably going to net him some further award nominations. It should. He is really great here. I mean, you get to see all sides. You get grouchy Bruce Dern. You get lovable Bruce Dern. You get angry Stern. Yeah, he just runs the whole gamut of the emotions, which is, I guess, expected when you're dealing with a character that's developing dementia.
Well, that is a question. How did you feel in regards to the presentation of dementia? Did you think that it was good? Did you think that it was realistic? Yes, he went through all these different emotional levels, but did that equal dementia in your mind?
I think it played a lot like movie dementia. I mean, what's the staple for dementia films everyone says to watch? I think Still Alice, is that what it's called, with Julianne Moore? Dementia, it's more than just, oh, what's my name again? Does orange juice go on cracker toast? Like, it's a little bit more than that, and it's actually quite terrifying. The fact that she leaves him alone without an aide, I guess she's a part of it. She's a part of the dedication to let's pretend this isn't real. I had to interpret the scene that way, because otherwise you'd have an aide with him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, then you come home and find your living room completely wrecked and part of a new art installation. The dementia here was okay. It's fine. Like I say, it doesn't go too overboard.
Hollywood dementia, I call it.
Because yeah. This isn't one of those movies where the premise is more on the outskirts of outrageous. This is more grounded. This is, you know, everyday sort of life. But I felt like it still scared me enough to think of what would happen if I started to develop anything sort of like that. It did start to worry me a bit. I thought at least it was well handled enough.
Yeah, he's a game for it. He goes through the motions, as you said.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Bruce Dern acted the shit out of it.
Confused anger is always spot on from him.
And I think you're absolutely right, Brad. It's movie dementia. I remember at the early stages with my mom where we would be having a conversation and then it would be a different conversation. And, you know, it's like that's the way it progresses. It feels like the dementia was there in order to progress the plot. And it's like, that's not how dementia works. You know, when you're getting to the point where you're ripping apart furniture, that's when you got to the point where your words are gibberish. And it's like, but no, you need this to create a moment in plot. So, you know, it works fine for movie, but as a representation of dementia.
I would think, movie dementia. I would think the moment it kind of defined itself as movie dementia was when he first had that outburst towards a student, the female student.
I just thought he was being Bruce Dern, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it just seemed like, that would happen if this were a movie. I felt like the outburst he had where he just straight up wrecks that student's painting, I was like, okay, that actually is believable. That feels believable in someone, you know, just having this momentary lapse in judgment. but also, oh yeah, he's god-tier artist, so he's gotta be an asshole somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about we get into final thoughts? Brad, how about you start off?
Well, this was a delightful romp. No, I'm just kidding.
If you look at the color palette over here, the way the use of gray and green mixed together create gray-green is wonderful gray, over here. Yes. It kind of reminds me of a paint swatch from Home Depot.
You see, I don't judge art. Art judges me. Yeah.
This is the worst PBS station ever.
I remember watching The Wife with Glenn Close. Great, underrated, overrated movie. I guess Academy-wise, it got a lot of love.
It's a good movie.
The Artist's Wife is similar. If Glenn Close was like, I like it here in my husband's shade. This is where I belong. And that's kind of a downer story to me. I did really enjoy that the artist's wife loved her husband so much. That was cool. And that takes so much dedication, and she just does it effortlessly, and nobody brings it up. Nobody ever is all like, what's going on with you staying true to this piece of shit? Out of anger, they would say that, of course. Not that this man is a piece of shit.
The daughter brings it up for like a sentence. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. It's not the movie's fault. It wasn't what I wanted. And I really did enjoy the performances a lot. And I like that it was breezy. It was short. You know, it moved from one piece to another real quick. I mean, if you don't pay attention, you won't know who anybody is by 45 minutes. And I have to rewind it. I'm just going to go ahead and give this, let's go with 6 destroyed expensive furniture that is now more expensive because the artist created it to be out of 10.
And how about you, Jordan?
This was actually a pretty good movie. It was well acted enough. I'll just get my shortcomings out of the way. We don't really get no real motivation or resolution on the rift between father and daughter. That's really just there to drive the plot along, and not very well despite the good performances. Bruce Dern is excellent, and Lena Olin always delivers. I'm trying to think of when I've ever been disappointed in a performance by her. Like, even guest starring on an episode of SVU, she's like, God damn, you're incredible. So, I just wish it did get a little bit more into her side as just being the wife, and even just a little bit more motivation into how she wants to go back into painting. I also do wish the movie explored this a little more, where she's thinking, man, my husband is kind of going through something. It's terrible. Should I even use this as my shot to get back into the public eye? Like, I wish they could have explored that a little more. Like, is it wrong of me to use this for myself? Because I thought at least the movie would try that. It's well directed too, and I liked it well enough. It's not gonna blow me away. So I'll give it 7.5 tubes of forest green oil paints.
Yeah, I thought this movie was okay. The thing that really bugged me about it, one is, like we've already said, is all these little plots that went nowhere. The thing with the daughter and her relationship with her dad, the thing with the Manny and his whole backstory. But more than that, the ending made me angry. And I think you touched on it, Brad, a little bit, was that it resolves itself in a nice little bow. And it's just like, but what the resolution is somewhat toxic. Is it somewhat of a toxic message of, despite the badness that this person is doing, I'm going to stand by them. I'm going to disregard everything they've done to me before. And everything is happy, bow. And it's just like, no. That's not...
I mean, he's still an asshole, dementia or not.
He's still a dick, and, you know, the daughter knows it for whatever reason she has that they don't explain, and the wife knows it, and it's just like, why are you sacrificing yourself for this guy? And the movie does not give a clear answer as to why they do that. And so that just made me mad. But, you know, it is acted wonderfully. I really wish I'd gotten to know the characters more. I really wish I'd gotten to know the relationships more. I really wish I'd known the avant-garde friend, because she was awesome. The script didn't give them enough to explain who they were. And that, combined with the sort of toxic ending, just kind of made me a wee bit miffed. So I am going to give it $694,000 clocks out of 10.
I mean, to be fair, that was a pretty good looking clock.
I wouldn't spend $94,000 on a car. I don't care how nice the clock looks. That was absurd.
Okay, I will spend $94,000 on an Aston Martin DB5.
You could then set the clock in the car and use it. And then name it an art piece.
The Austin clock.
All right, you know what? I figured it out. My headcanon reason for why he was a shit dad. He's a Yankees fan. She's a Red Sox fan. There.
Knew it. That's it.
Oh, the vitriol makes so much sense now between them.